Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Not Your Basic Love Story by Lindsay Maple. Narrated by Ellie Gossage. 1. I always have a plan. Always. The empty seat next to me was definitely not in the plan. Even worse, it served as a painful reminder of the loneliness I was about to face for the entirety of my weekend in Mexico. Not that it was a vacation. If it were possible to cancel, I would have. I fidgeted with my unclasped seatbelt. I'm usually more relaxed by the time I've boarded. I did, after all, get to the airport an hour early and have a beer, or two, in the lounge. My anxiety remained high because of the unknown factor. Who would be sitting in the row with me? Knowing my luck, I'd be stuck sitting next to the chattiest person in British Columbia. If only I had the window seat. It's easy to ignore people from the window, watching the landscape fly by. Unfortunately, I was stuck in the aisle as people stuffed their winter coats into the overhead compartments and jostled their luggage past. Now began my tradition of guessing who would be sitting next to me. An old lady approached with her ancient carpet bag, sun hat already on her head, fake pastel flowers along the brim matching her blouse. She smiled at me, and for a moment, I resigned myself to having to talk about all 10 of her cats for the entire 5.5-hour flight ahead. She checked her printed ticket, squinted at the numbers above her head, and kept moving. Next was a young mother traveling alone with a rambunctious little boy who was already whining and fighting against her. As much as I love kids, I don't love being confined in a tiny space with them for hours at a time. Sitting next to a toddler would also make my empty seat barrier moot. There would be zero defense against the screams of pain from tiny ears popping or the smell of dirty diapers. I released a relieved sigh as the mom worked her way past. I hoped whoever she sat next to would be helpful. Oh no. Worst case scenario. An older man approached, coughing into his hands and sniffling through his red, runny nose. Too early in the season for allergies. Just my luck to leave on vacation and return home with the flu. There wasn't enough sanitizer in the world to help me here. Luckily, he and his germs also kept moving. My breath caught in my throat at the next passenger. Tall, dark, handsome, all the cliches. His black hair shined perfectly combed atop his head, and his beard was trimmed along his jawline and faded into his sideburns, emphasizing his angular features. Time slowed as he checked his phone and then looked up at me. His gorgeous, deep brown eyes were pools of hot, sweaty summers and mysterious backstory. The quirk of his gentle smile hinted at various talents other than containing his perfectly straight teeth. Their pristine whiteness a stark contrast against the warm color of his skin. I couldn't help but smile back, warmth flushing my cheeks. He said words. Hmm? He pointed past me.
That's my seat.
Oh! I stood, shuffling by him awkwardly as he ducked and slid into his spot. His chest brushed up against mine momentarily, accompanied by the gentle, welcoming aroma of his tasteful cologne, and perhaps a hint of tequila. I sat back down and buckled in as he situated himself. My pulse quickened. Did I really get to sit next to Mr. Sexy Pants for the whole flight? Oh, shit. That meant I had to figure out how to string words into sentences without conveying how awkward I am, which was difficult to do even under normal circumstances. He put his immaculately cared-for iPhone on airplane mode before tucking it into his canvas and leather messenger bag and went to shove it under the seat in front of him. But I interjected. You can put it under the middle seat. I mean, if you want. More legroom for you. I offered a polite smile, trying to avoid direct eye contact. He looked up at me and caught my gaze. Again, I was lost in those intense eyes of his. I tried not to blush. I failed.
Nobody's sitting here?
He asked, eyebrows raised and brow slightly furrowed. I shook my head. It's just the two of us.
Thanks,
he smiled and took me up on my offer. As he slid his bag under the seat, I noted the absence of any rings on his fingers. I forced my eyes forward. Get it together. He's a perfect stranger. He's not interested. Your bed is barely cold, and here you are fantasizing about a stranger on a plane. Miranda was right. I should have spent the last 2 weeks swiping right instead of eating ice cream and watching The Bachelor. But Tinder, ugh, I wasn't ready for that dumpster fire yet.
First time going to Mexico?
He asked, rolling up the sleeves of his black dress shirt. Perhaps a bit too formal for travel, to reveal thick forearms with a spattering of dark hair. Relax, girl. It's only a forearm. Although it's one of the top 5 sexiest parts of a man's body, maybe he is interested. A little flirting never hurt anyone, right? No, I've been a few times. You? He shook his head.
Never to Mexico. I haven't been on a plane since I was a kid, and I barely remember it.
I smiled. Well, if you need anything, I'm a veteran flyer.
Thanks. I'm a little nervous. I wish I wasn't by the window.
As he turned to look out, his jaw tightened. The window's the best part. Takeoff and landing are usually a little bumpy, but other than that, it's quite boring. You won't see too much once we're up there, just clouds. Once we get closer to Mexico and start our descent, you'll see the ocean. I was babbling. Luckily, the pre-flight checklist forced me to stop before I could embarrass myself any further. Silence grew between us as the plane taxied to the runway. The flight attendant gave out safety instructions in both English and French while everyone ignored her. I glanced over at my seatmate to see him studying the laminated emergency response instruction card. He looked up, catching my amused smile.
I had to see if the people in the pictures were as calm as that movie said.
I thought for a moment, racking my brain for the reference. Fight Club? I guessed. A surprised smile lit up his face.
You know it?
I grinned. Do I? I practically have it memorized.
So, if this is Fight Club, he said, leaning closer, are you Tyler Durden or am I?
We'd both be Tyler Durden, obviously, but I'd be Brad Pitt.
No way. If anyone's Brad Pitt here, it's me.
I chuckled. Not that there's anything wrong with Edward Norton. I mean, he's a babe. He smiled at me for a long moment, his eyes twinkling. Then he slid the instructions back into the seat pocket and reached his hand across the empty seat between us. I took it, his large hand enveloping my comparatively dainty one. His grip was confident but gentle, nails trimmed with care.
Dev, he offered.
Rebecca, I replied. He held on to my hand for exactly 3 heartbeats before letting go. I forced my eyes forward, biting the inside of my cheek to keep from smiling. The plane increased its throttle, rumbling and shaking as we darted down the runway. Engines roaring. Dev inhaled sharply through his teeth and gripped the armrests. I took note of the tendons and veins as they rippled beneath the skin of his hands. His eyes were shut tight, a light sweat forming on his brow. My stomach dropped a bit as we gained elevation, but soon we were at a steady incline and everything was normal. You okay, Dev? I asked, enjoying the taste of his name on my tongue. He opened his eyes and nodded once. The worst part's over. Want something to drink? My treat.
A curious smile played upon his face.
I don't think a lady has ever offered to buy me a drink.
Well, I'm a feminist, I said with a smirk. He laughed.
Sure, yeah, I can't turn that down.
So, what takes you to Mexico? I asked. Small talk coming easily for once as I waited for the attendants to begin their service.
Winter break, final year of college. Next semester is my last one. It was kind of a last-minute decision. A bunch of my cousins are going down. They're up there near the front somewhere. They talked me into it. It's been a while since I've traveled, and I thought it would be fun to get out of the rain and have some sunshine for once.
Ooh, what's your major?
I twisted in my seat to face him. Business administration? Or are you a graduate?
I nodded. Engineering.
Wow, that's impressive. You must have a really cool job.
My job was meh. It wasn't what I'd imagined myself doing as a little girl when I dreamed of becoming an engineer. Everything was different than I'd imagined. I changed the subject. Are you from Vancouver?
No, Surrey.
Surrey was just east of the Greater Vancouver area. It would be an hour from my place to his, at least, and I'd have to get off the SkyTrain. Probably take a couple of buses. Wait, what? Why was I even thinking that? Jeez, Rebecca. You've known him for like 5 minutes, and here you are.
How about you?
He asked. His question caught me off guard. I'd been in my head again, instead of paying attention to the conversation. I live in Vancouver.
He smiled. No, what brings you to Mexico?
Oh, I laughed it off. My best friend Miranda is getting married. I'm one of her bridesmaids.
Sounds like fun, he said, wiping a light sheen of sweat from his brow.
The attendant addressed us in his chipper voice.
Anything to drink?
Yeah, I'll have tequila and orange juice. Dev? I looked over at him. He nodded.
Sure, sounds good.
I silently praised myself for guessing his drink. The slight whiff of tequila I gleaned from him was accurate. I paid with the tap of my card as the attendant handed me the cups with ice and orange juice, as well as 2 tiny bottles of Cuervo. I poured them out, a little heavier on the tequila than I'd intended, with a bump of turbulence. Cup in one hand, I offered the other to Dev. He sniffed it.
Whew, that's a strong drink.
Sorry, but I mean we're going to Mexico. It's only getting started. We raised our little plastic cups, tapped them together, said cheers, and took a drink. It was awful. I'm not one for tequila at the best of times, and semi-warm orange juice didn't do it any favors. I glanced at Dev. How long are you? A panicked expression appeared on his face. He dropped the cup and fumbled through the seat pocket in front of him. My stomach clenched, but nothing could prepare me for what happened next. Dev puked all over himself. By the smell of it, he'd ingested quite a bit of tequila already, along with what may have been a greasy burger and fries. I looked away as fast as possible, fighting my gag reflex.
Oh, Daddy,
he cursed. Moans of disgust erupted from the other seats. The attendant reappeared with napkins and plastic bags. I quickly excused myself down the aisle to the bathroom, thankful there wasn't a lineup. After splashing some cold water on my face, I glanced up at myself in the tiny mirror. My skin was somehow even more pale than usual. My mousy brown hair was damp around the frame of my face and at the back of my neck from sweat. I glanced down at my clothes. Ugh, was that gross? I wiped at my gray tank top and faded jeans with some paper towel, getting most of the vomit off. I took a steadying breath as the plane shook again and prepared to return to my seat. When I was sure my stomach would hold, I exited the tiny room and nearly ran into Dev. Slime covered his trousers and once nice shirt, an embarrassed grimace on his face. Stomach, don't betray me now. I inched past him and made my way back to my seat. Though the attendants had done a good job cleaning everything up, nothing could be done about the acrid smell I was now stuck with for 5 more hours. Just when I thought my luck was getting better, it had, in fact, not turned around at all. If only my seatmate was the old lady with the cats, or the mom with the toddler, or even the guy with the germs. Nope. I was stuck sitting next to the guy with motion sickness because, of course, I was. I grabbed my iPhone from my purse and quickly put in my ear pods, turning on RuPaul's Drag Race, thankful I'd saved several episodes ahead of time. When Dev made his way back, he looked defeated. I felt bad for him. I moved my knees and he shuffled into his seat. He said more words. I pulled one of my pods out, just an inch. Excuse me?
I said I'm sorry. About that.
It's fine, I smiled, teeth still clenched. The awful smell stronger with him there. Didn't he have a spare change of clothes in his carry-on?
I shoved my pod back in and looked at my phone, hoping he would take the hint and leave me alone. My fun and flirtatious 5-hour flight, ruined. Once we landed, I beelined it off the plane, eager to get to the hotel and shower the smell of tequila barf off of me. I didn't say goodbye to Dev, since I couldn't even look at him without triggering my gag reflex, which was too bad. We'd gotten off on such a great start. I breathed a little easier with each step closer to the exit, glad to put the memory of my queasy companion behind me and move on with my trip. Mexico's humidity hit me like I'd just walked into a wall, the balmy climate so different than the stuffy airplane or cold, rainy winter season in Vancouver. My shoes clicked on the laminate flooring as I made my way to the baggage carousel, absentmindedly going through the schedule of plans for Miranda's wedding over the next few days. Tonight was a meet-and-greet cocktail hour at some fancy restaurant by the beach. Tomorrow, the rehearsal dinner. The next day, Miranda had been secretive about, probably some sort of adventure she had planned, knowing her. Then the wedding. Next day, flying home. It couldn't be over fast enough. And not that I didn't love Miranda. We'd been friends since high school, and now, at 29, she was really the only friend I had left from those days. I'd been with her all ups and downs, so now, seeing her settling down, I couldn't be happier for her. Derek was a great guy. He'd make a great dad someday. It was doing it all alone that I wasn't excited about. The whole trip, right down to the romantic ocean view suite with the jacuzzi tub I'd paid extra for, was going to be a reminder of what a failure I was at love. Thankfully, I didn't have long to dwell upon those thoughts. My luggage, an unmistakable bright pink plastic case with lime green palm fronds on it, was one of the first to come down the chute. I'd had to splurge on new luggage when he took mine 2.5 weeks ago. I booked it out of there, eyes focused on the floor in front of me, lest I accidentally see Dev again and have to smile at him awkwardly, or worse, actually talk to him. I jumped into a cab, eager for a shower and some fresh clothes. I texted Miranda. Landed. OMG, you wouldn't believe what happened on the plane. She replied a minute later.
Yay, meet us at the bar when you're ready. Winky kiss emoji. Champagne emoji. Sunshine emoji. 3 heart emojis.
She was drunk already. LOL, will do, bae. Kiss emoji, 3 heart emojis, dancing emoji. I definitely needed a drink, but not tequila. Anything but more tequila. Tequila might be permanently ruined for me, and I'd only been in Mexico for about 10 minutes. 2. The all-inclusive resort was in the famous Cancun hotel zone. Miranda had spared no expense. Rather, Derek's parents had spared no expense, and we were staying at a super luxurious one. It had 4 bars, not including the swim-up pool bar, 5 restaurants, and a wide private beach. The palm-lined road was familiar, given I'd stayed at a different resort several years ago on a girls' trip. I didn't remember much else. The only souvenir I had from that escapade was a questionable lower back tattoo, an infinity symbol with a heart and some dandelion tufts. Blinking in the sunshine, I took in the gorgeous setting while the driver unloaded my bags. The architecture was incredible and reminded me of my backpacking trip through Europe. So much glass and concrete with pyramidal shapes, reminiscent of the Louvre. Or, you know, the actual pyramids. Not that I've been to Egypt. Yet. The lobby was equally impressive, with cool marble on the floors and walls, and suspended greenery descending like the hanging gardens of Babylon. Perhaps they'd built this place with that idea in mind. Regardless of their inspiration, I was totally out of place here amongst all the well-dressed, very tanned upper-class people inhabiting the resort. I checked in. A few minutes later, after my credit card was swiped and the key handed over, I was on my way. The bellboy took my bags and led me to my Ocean View suite. I tipped him, making a mental note of having to exchange more of my Canadian dollars into American, their currency of choice, and then close the door, eager to be by myself after the bustle of travel. The suite was exquisite. Giant floor-to-ceiling windows met with a sliding glass door, which opened to my balcony and granted an uninhibited view of clear, blue ocean and an equally stunning sky. A massive king-sized bed with a soft white duvet sat along one wall. My eyes settled on the red rose petals sprinkled suggestively over top. Two towels folded into the shape of kissing swans. Nope. I swept the petals off the bed and onto the floor, then shook out the swans. Keep it together, Rebecca. It's been 2.5 weeks. You can do this. All you need is a shower. A shower and a drink. I helped myself to a Corona from the minibar and made my way to the bathroom. Much like the rest of the suite, the bathroom was incredible. Decked out in cool white marble with gray veins, a huge jacuzzi tub took up one wall next to a rainhead shower and double sink. I looked in the mirror. My hair was frazzled from the humidity. My makeup needed a do-over, and my clothes were rumpled and smelled nasty. I stripped naked and stepped into the shower with my beer. A shower beer can fix many problems. Alone, hot water pouring down my body, drink in hand, my mind wandered back to how I'd imagined it when I booked the room several weeks ago. How I'd imagined it with him. Pushing into the doorway, kissing and giggling, jumping onto the bed. Romantic evenings walking barefoot along the beach. Hot, sticky nights fueled by champagne. Perhaps a proposal, which I'd keep secret from Miranda for a few days until the magic of her wedding had worn off. Had I been out of line imagining a proposal? We'd been together for over 1.5 years. That was a reasonable amount of time to date before becoming engaged, right? But he had to go and ruin it. How could someone throw it all away? Weeks before a destination wedding he knew was so important to me. It was like he wanted to punish me, to force me to attend those dinner parties and cocktail receptions alone, answering, "Oh, where's your boyfriend?" with, "Oh, we broke up," followed by the requisite, "Aw, too bad." Yeah, no shit, Sherlock. It is too bad. The timing wasn't his fault, I guess. Everything else was, though. I chugged my beer, then went through the process of cleaning the airport and Dev's lunch off me. Despite everything, it was impossible to look out these giant windows at the incredible cloudless blue sky and be in a bad mood. One towel wrapped around my torso, another twisted on top of my head, I unzipped my suitcase as I hummed an old Katy Perry song that had no business being hummed by anyone anymore, and... what the? This wasn't my bag? Instead of pumps and cocktail dresses, there were men's shirts and shorts, and a very expensive-looking pair of brown leather sandals, size 11. Of course I would fuck up and grab the wrong bag. I hadn't even considered for the slightest moment that two people would have the same ridiculous luggage. This was not my day. I texted Miranda. FML, babe. Gonna be late. Grabbed wrong luggage. She didn't reply. Probably busy. That was fine. Everything was fine. I called the concierge, hoping this wasn't the first time something like this had happened. Sure enough, the person on the other end of the line assured me that this happened from time to time and that they'd take care of it. I gave them my own name as well as the name of the unlucky person who... Oh, shit. They had my bag. I hung up the phone and sat on the edge of my bed with my head in my hands. Not only were all my clothes in there... but I'd grabbed my vibrator and thrown it right on top of everything else because, let's be honest, I was going to need it. Several minutes of pacing later, the phone rang. It was the concierge. They found the person who had my bag, and they were staying at another resort in the area. All I had to do was bring the incorrect bag to the front desk, make the swap, and then I could move on with my day. I looked down at the floor where my dirty clothes were piled in a heap. The absolute last thing I wanted to do was put them back on. Thankfully, I found a fuzzy white robe in the closet and donned it. Hair still up in a towel, improper luggage zipped and rolling, I walked back to the front desk. This was the last thing I needed. I hate it being late. I'm always the friend who shows up 15 minutes early for everything. I hugged myself in my robe and shifted from foot to foot while I waited, doing my best to remain calm, hoping I wouldn't bump into anyone from Miranda's wedding while I was half-naked. Thankfully, I didn't have to wait long. In walked none other than Dev, wheeling a gaudy bright pink plastic luggage case with lime green palm fronds behind him. Oh, God. He took one look at me and stopped dead in his tracks, eyes wide in shock. "Hi," I mumbled, feeling naked in my robe and silly with the towel on my head. He pushed my suitcase towards me, and we fumbled to grab the opposite handles without dropping anything or touching one another. "Hey," he said. He had on a flamboyant shirt with Cancun on the front and hideous shorts which were far too big, obviously purchased from a tourist shop to get out of his nasty airplane clothes. Despite his hilarious attire and everything that had happened, his smile was still completely disarming. "You didn't open this, did you?" I asked, finding my voice, unsure if my face could get any hotter. No, I didn't. I saw the name and I didn't open it or see anything." He was lying. I was thankful for that. "Okay, well, thank you. I have to go get ready." I turned and began to walk away, eager to put all this behind me and have about 10 more beers.
"Wait,"
he called. I looked over my shoulder as he took 3 steps with his long legs to catch up to me.
"Let me make it up to you," he said. "Please."
I waved a hand dismissively. The last thing I wanted was to be asked out right now, half naked in a robe with a towel on my head while late for my BFF's party. "I took your luggage, not the other way around. Trust me, it's fine."
"No, I mean for the airplane. I had already been drinking quite a bit with my cousins."
I could tell.
"And I'd like the opportunity to make it up to you. Maybe dinner later? I could pick you up here at 7.
I hardened my facial expression to make it obvious this was a polite yet firm no. He persisted, staring at me with those giant brown eyes and ridiculously long lashes. He was going to make me say it, wasn't he? "Sorry, I have plans tonight. Honestly, it's fine. You barely got any on me, and..."
"I got some on you?"
He hid his face in his hands and then peeked out at me between his fingers. A bit immature, I was growing tired of this. "It's fine, don't worry," I tried to assure him.
"Let me at least pay for the dry cleaning."
I hesitated. "Fine, yes, that would be nice." He grinned.
"Thank you, and I'm sorry. I'll go talk to the front desk. You have a lovely night, Rebecca."
I turned and walked away, wheeling my luggage behind me, eager to get into my room and crack another beer and put this whole strange exchange in the past. Back in my suite, Miranda had texted me.
"Not your luck, babe. Hurry up. I can't wait to see you."
Another string of emojis. I was going to need to catch up. I unzipped my suitcase to see nothing out of place. My vibrator right on top exactly as I had left it, which was a stupid mistake. Even though female masturbation is nothing to be ashamed of, my cheeks reddened, knowing Dev had likely seen my purple rabbit. I tucked it into the drawer next to the bed, you know, for convenience later. Hair curled, dress donned, and makeup applied, I checked the itinerary and headed out. The resort was massive. It took me 3 wrong turns and asking for directions before I found the right place. A horde of well-dressed, tipsy people had already gathered in the huge reception area, a drink in one hand and a plate of appetizers in the other. I weaved my way around the crowd and, with a sigh of relief, finally spotted Miranda. Everything about her seemed effortless, from the way she walked to her wide, confident smile. Her bright lipstick complemented her ivory skin tone and popped against her white cocktail dress. A silver necklace matched the bangles along her wrists, but did not distract from the giant diamond on her finger. Princess cut. So fitting.
Though she looked like a flawless, elegant woman now, every time I looked at her, I...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?